Welcome to the Beyond Affairs podcast. We are affair recovery specialists Anne and Brian Burcht. For the past 20 plus years, we have dedicated our lives to helping couples and individuals just like you heal from marital betrayal. In addition to private intensives, we run weekend intensive experiences for groups, including Healing from Affairs, Take Your Life Back, and Man of Honor. We're also the authors of the book, My Husband's Affair Became the Best Thing That Ever Happened to Me. While we're Christians and all our materials are biblically based, you'll feel comfortable and get help no matter what you believe. Our website is beyondaffairs.com. And now, here's your host, Anne Burcht. Affairs absolutely devastate husbands and wives. They destroy families and the lives of children, and they weaken our nation. Why do they happen? Why do affairs happen? There's an evil person in our country who has earned millions of dollars destroying families. His business sports billboards with the slogan, "Life is short, have an affair." I am dying to create a countering ad campaign with slogans like, "Life is short, leave a legacy," "Life is short, be your wife's hero," or "Life is short, having an affair will ruin yours," or "Having an affair is like trying to keep warm on a cold day by peeing your pants." Why do affairs happen, and what can you do to prevent it? Everyone knows that they don't want to be betrayed and that it would be really bad. What only those who have been there grasp is just how bad bad is. You know it would be bad, and you think it will never happen to you until one day it happens to you. Statistics are all over the place when it comes to the question, what percentage of marriages are affected by affairs? And no research projects are more wrought with lies than infidelity stats. According to Scott Haltzman in his book, The Secrets of Surviving Infidelity, 28 to 43% of marriages are affected. So just imagine your own neighborhood for a moment. That's every third house. So that means that if it's not your house, then it's either your neighbor on your right or your neighbor on your left. Problems in marriages are not the root cause of affairs. And as long as we point our finger of blame on the wrong thing, our problem is going to continue to grow. It's like treating malnutrition with diet soda. How many of you want to know the real reason for infidelity and betrayal? I have spent the last 21 years helping thousands of people do the impossible, recover from betrayal. I am going to show you that affairs happen because of unmet needs. I'm also going to show you that affairs do not happen because of unmet needs. For every marriage with problems where there's been an affair, I can show you another marriage with worse problems where there has not been an affair. So it's not cause and effect. Oh, I don't deny that marriages with problems are more vulnerable to affairs than happy marriages. But affairs happen in good marriages too. I remember supporting a woman whose husband had had an affair every 5 years of their 30-year marriage. And every 5 years of their 30-year marriage, they went for marital therapy. And in the therapy, they always discovered what the faithful wife wasn't doing and how she was wrong and how she wasn't meeting her husband's needs. I mean, 5 years into the marriage, she wasn't fit enough, so she joined a gym, got on a healthier eating plan, and worked on being fit and sexy. Then, 10 years into their marriage, it turns out, according to the therapist, that he had an affair because she was giving too much attention to the children and not enough attention to him. And so she changed that and paid more attention to him. And then, 15 years into their marriage, it turns out that her husband had affairs because she wasn't experimental enough in the bedroom. Oh, so they went to sex stores and bought sex toys and lingerie, and she got more adventurous in bed, even agreeing to some things that she wasn't comfortable with at all. But she didn't dare say so because his ability to meet her needs was not on the table, since she wasn't the one having affairs. 20 years into their marriage, when he had another affair, and they went for therapy again, they discovered this time that the wife wasn't meeting her husband's need for recreational companionship. So she took up golf with her husband, and so on for 30 years. And when she came to my band group, Beyond Affairs Network support group, she was losing her mind. Not surprisingly. At what point do we look at the person having the affair for the root of the problem? That's the elephant in the room. From a healed place, my husband and I, and my husband has said these words to me. He said, "Ann, I so appreciate the changes that you have made since we worked through my affair. And I get to benefit from those changes as your husband, and I'm so appreciative. And I have tried really hard as your husband to become a better man and a better husband. I hope I'm succeeding, and I hope that you really can feel it and that you are benefiting from the changes that I've made. But I need you to know that even if you've made all the changes that you've made now before I ever had an affair, I still would have had an affair because my affair had nothing to do with you and it had everything to do with the shortcomings in my own character. Affairs happen because people don't believe monogamy is possible. Every person is going to act in accordance with their own belief system. So if we believe that human beings aren't capable of being monogamous, then we're not going to be monogamous. But people are capable of being monogamous. Affairs happen because people don't know what a successful monogamous marriage looks like. We lack the role models. They don't know what they're missing. People don't know what they're missing. They don't know how fulfilling a monogamous marriage between two people with good hearts, a willingness to grow and change, and some relationship skills can be. It is awesome. It's better than open marriages and all these marriages with all this selfishness going on. Ask any happily married couple who's been married 25 years or more, and they're happy and their marriage is strong, what the secret is of their happy marriage. And one answer that you will never hear is, it was because we are soulmates. We just magically found each other and we have lived happily ever after. We're one of the lucky couples. No, you are not going to hear that response. You're going to hear things like, we respected each other. We stayed committed to each other. We worked hard. We were considerate and compassionate. We incorporated laughter into our relationship. And they're going to tell you those things with knowing smiles and a twinkle in their eyes. Affairs happen because people are selfish and self-centered. I have seen some of the smartest and most successful people in the world literally throw their lives away by having affairs. People say, what were they thinking? And that's exactly the problem. They were not thinking. We live in a culture where our media promotes affairs. We are the ultimate hypocrites. We condemn infidelity, yet we also promote it. A research study done some years ago followed all the major American television networks for 30 days. They monitored how often each network showed couples. Did they show them as married or unmarried? Did they show them as happy or unhappy? Well, guess what that research project showed? It showed that 95% of the time, Hollywood depicts unmarried couples as having a wonderful relationship and amazing movie sex, and married couples as unhappy and having bad sex. Tell me, That's not programming that blurs people's moral compass during times when life is tough. The difference between the person you are today and the person that you will be 10 years from now depends on what you read, what you watch, what you listen to, and who you choose to hang out with. That's worth saying again. The difference between the person you are today and the person that you will be 10 years, 5 years from now depends on who you're hanging around with and what you are allowing into your brain, what you're watching and what you're listening to. To really understand the reasons why affairs happen and what can be done to prevent them is like unraveling the layers of an onion. Affairs happen for many reasons. It's never just one thing. The reasons contributing to why any specific person acts unfaithfully are many and complex. It's not simple. We might be wise to take a step back and ask ourselves, why are we asking this question in the first place? Why does it matter to us why affairs happen? Because we're trying to prevent them? Because we don't want to get hurt? Because if we have experienced the pain of betrayal, we are looking for a way to heal. And in order to heal, we have to solve the crime. We have to find a way to make sense of a situation that doesn't make any sense. Affairs are not logical. Affairs happen because we lack the skills to be married properly. My goal is to change our culture. Today, if a couple tells their friends, "We're going to a marriage seminar," the friends are more than likely to look concerned and ask if they're having problems. My goal is to impact our culture in such a way that when people tell somebody else that they're married, the response would be, "Oh, great, which courses have you taken in marriage? Where have you learned how to have a good marriage?" And then when that couple says, "We've never been to a marriage seminar," then the people they're talking to would say, "Are you out of your ever-loving minds that you think you can be married without being trained?" I mean, we get educated for everything else we do in our lives except for the one thing that has more power to make us happy and successful and healthy than anything else. People have affairs because they are not honest with their spouse. We aren't even honest with ourselves. We don't know how to love. We don't know how to receive love. We don't know how to speak the truth in love. We're afraid of conflict. We're afraid of being truly known. We're afraid of being exposed for the failure or fraud we feel like we are on the inside. We feel that if people really knew us, they wouldn't love us. And even if we do try to share our hurts and complaints with our spouse, we are often not heard. Either because our spouse lacks the skill to listen, which many people do, or we lack the skill to speak the truth in a way that is not an attack. And then we open ourselves to building relationships with strangers and coworkers and past flames on Facebook or Match, whatever, all those websites, classmates.com, that's what I was thinking of, is one of the major ones, because it's easier to experiment with confiding in these neutral persons, because after all, it's not them we are complaining about. So it's easy for another woman or another man to be sympathetic and not defensive because they don't even know our faults yet. Instead, I challenge you to dare to tell the truth to your spouse. Telling the truth to our spouse takes courage. And it takes two, because someone has to listen. And that's especially hard when our spouse is talking about perceived hurts. We know the other side, and we are dying to point it out to them, to correct them, to defend ourselves, to explain away their feelings, anything but the thing we need to do, which is listen and allow ourselves to truly absorb what they are saying. Their truth, their world, let them own it. If couples could learn how to be honest with each other, there would be no more affairs. Affairs are always about the secrecy and the lies. Make a commitment to honesty and you will have monogamy. To not lie does not just mean that you don't give false information. It also means that you do not conceal relevant information. Instead, you are forthcoming even if not asked. For many years, I lived on the Canada-USA border. We had a house in the United States. I had my daughter and grandkids in Canada. I had one of those fancy Nexus passes, and I crossed the border all the time. Now, there's a lot of rules about this, like you have to declare certain things that you might cross the border with, like firearms would be important, but also things like fruits and vegetables and tobacco and extra passengers in your trunk. Well, I've never been asked about the extra passengers in my trunk, but I'm pretty sure that if I had one and I didn't say something about it, that that would be considered lying by the border officials. And if that's the way it is, like they don't have to ask the question, I'm still expected to answer it. And they can randomly pull you over. And if they find that you have one of those things, even if they didn't ask about it, then you would be charged because you would be lying because you didn't share the relevant information. My husband tried this with me during our affair recovery. He used that line, well, you never asked. I explained to him that I would be happy, more than happy to accommodate him. I could make a list of 1,000 relevant questions of things that could go on any given day. Did you have lunch with another woman today? Did you praise another woman today? Did you give a gift to another woman today? And I could make a list of 1,000 things. And every day when we reunited, we could go through the list before we began really being together. Or I gave him another choice. We could agree that if he withholds relevant information, it's lying and he should be forthcoming. Well, he chose the latter. Good choice. Affairs do happen because needs weren't being met in the relationship. But here's the main thing. Affairs happen because the person who acted unfaithfully has not dealt with the stuff in their life and their marriage. They use unresolved needs to justify their bad behavior. My husband didn't do this. My wife didn't do that. Affairs happen because of unspoken needs. Needs aren't being met, and often subconsciously, these needs are being suppressed. It's the unfaithful spouse's inability to deal with unmet needs that gives them permission or justification to step beyond a healthy marriage boundary. They resign themselves to believe that it can't be fixed. Their resignation about these things is their inability to make better decisions, to get better help, and ultimately to change themselves and their relationship. They are afraid of ending the marriage, which is what a person should do if they're really that unhappy. The unfaithful spouse lacks the courage to make a decision. They make many excuses for why they didn't terminate the marriage as opposed to going out and sleeping with somebody else. Affairs happen because the unfaithful spouse hasn't chosen what they needed to do. A man called our office one day and spoke to my husband, and he was furious with us because his wife had been to our Take Your Life Back seminar for women, and we had said that that she was not responsible for her husband's affair, that she was not at fault. And he told us, he was furious that we had told her this, and he said, we didn't understand. So Brian, my husband, said, okay, tell me about your wife. And the man went on to tell his story of woe with, of course, some valid complaints. And then he said, see, what would you have done if you were married to my wife? And he expected Brian to validate his position that he was a victim, and that there was no other choice but to have an affair. Well, my husband said, first I would have tried to talk to her in a supportive way. If that didn't work, I would have asked her, would she consider marriage counseling or a marriage seminar with me? If that didn't work, I would look for some good books on marriage and relationships and read them and try applying them to myself. I would try to be a better husband. If that didn't work, I would go for counseling or therapy for myself. If that didn't work, I would try asking my wife what she needed from me and how I could be a better husband for her. And then I would actually do those things. And if that didn't work, I would reach out to a friend, a mentor, or a pastor, somebody with a good marriage, and ask advice. If that didn't work, I would approach my wife again, more seriously, and tell her that I wasn't very happy. And again, I would ask her to engage in some form of help with me. If that didn't work, I would bring someone she respected, a witness, with me to ask, yet a third time, if she would consider working on our marriage together. And if none of those things worked, I would initiate a divorce. And once divorced, and having taken the right amount of time, probably at least a year, if not 2 years or more, to do some real personal healing and personal growth myself, so I don't repeat the same thing in another relationship. And then, and only then, divorced, healed, time, then I would start dating. At that, the gentleman on the other end of the phone hung up. I guess he didn't like what my husband had to say. Can affairs happen in good marriages? Yes, it happened to mine. We go along in marriage, and then something changes, but we are still doing things the way we've always done it before. Why do affairs happen in good marriages? Because those marriages aren't quite as good as they think they are. If you've been betrayed, you're probably looking for a guarantee that your partner will never cheat again. You're desperate to find something you can do to prevent your spouse from having an affair. That's why you don't like this message, because I haven't made it about you. Part of you wants the affair to be your fault, because if you cause the affair, then you can change something to guarantee that you will never be hurt like this again. The truth is that no one can be guaranteed what all of the future choices of another human being will be. Did we have a good marriage when my husband had an affair? Yes. Did it need improvement? Yes. Your marriage can be excellent and still need improvement. There are no perfect wives, and there are no perfect husbands either, and there is no such thing as a perfect marriage. Hurting people have affairs, and then they hurt the people they love and make a mess of their lives and the lives of those around them. An affair is like a vice. It medicates, provides a temporary escape from reality. Unfaithful spouses end up in affair fog like a drunk person. Their judgment has become impaired. One woman who had been unfaithful tried to explain it to me, and she said it like this: Anne, it was like I was in a toilet, in the whirlpool of a toilet, just whirling around, swirling, 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 faster, faster, and it was just a matter of time before I was going down the drain. And when she said this, I thought of my Niagara Falls. I don't know why this picture just popped into my head. But you see, if you were far enough upstream from Niagara Falls in a rowboat, you could be perfectly safe. But as you head downstream, inevitably, you will reach a point of no return, and you will be going over the edge. You see, the affair happens before the affair happens. Good people head downstream towards the affair, subtly deceiving themselves that they are doing nothing wrong, that they won't have an affair, that they would say no, that the other person isn't attracted to them, that what they are doing is innocent. And it's a slow fade in their thinking that tells themselves that what they are doing isn't wrong, that it won't hurt anyone, and that they deserve this little game that they're playing, this vice, this, but they don't think of it as a vice yet. They're just getting a dopamine hit from that flattery. They think they will get to the edge of the falls and shout, "No, we're not going to do this." But you see, once you're there, you're going over. The affair starts before the affair starts. That's what people need to realize. You've got to get out of the rowboat upstream, or maybe consider don't even get in the river. You do that by talking with your spouse about what's going on. Affairs are prevented when you tell the truth to your spouse about the things that really matter, sometimes difficult things. I met a man on an elevator once when we were doing a seminar. He didn't know why we were there. He could just see that I was wearing a microphone and I was the speaker. And he said, "Give me your elevator speech." And so I said, "Don't ever have an affair." And he looked at me pretty shocked. And he said, "I think I owe you a lot of money." I'm passing that on to you. No matter how much you're getting sucked into this thing, you're going to find yourself in a world of hurt. And it's not going to be okay. People will get hurt, and you're going to pay a high price. You ask, how can you know your spouse will never cheat again? You can't. But if your spouse changes and learns to be honest with you, honest about their fears and insecurities, honest about the things they are unhappy about, as well as their hopes and dreams, and you learn how to hear the truth well and make it safe for them to be truthful, meaning, you know, if they're vulnerable with you, you can't turn around and hurt them with that vulnerable sharing. If you can learn how to do that, then the odds are in your favor. Many times, even more so than they would be with someone who has never had an affair, because lessons have been learned. The secret to monogamy is a commitment to openness and honesty. I wish you faithfulness, healing, and truth, spoken and received in love. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening. This is Brian and Ann Burcht signing out. We do seminars, coaching, and private intensives to help you. So we want to hear from you soon. We care about your story. And don't forget to check out our book, My Husband's Affair Became the Best Thing That Ever Happened to Me. Our phone number is 360-306-3367. And again, that website is beyondaffairs.com. All right, stay strong.